Fourth down, 38 seconds to go. This is the game right here.
A chance for another heroic play and fantastic finish. Get sacked.
Sacked by Carlos Dunlap, and that's going to do the Cardinals in this first place battle with the Seahawks.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Like I said, we had our chances. We just didn't play well enough to win the game.
16 penalties maybe for over 100 yards, which you're not going to win in this league doing that.
Arizona falls to 6-4, their first loss in the division.
We're talking about the Cards' loss in Seattle on the Doug and Wolf Show.
How do you do both? We're talking about the Cards' loss. I'm just glad you still hit it.
I mean, it felt like 16 penalties, and you're thinking, man, it can't feel any worse. And then it does with this.
Go ahead, flash the four right now, Masonians. That's right. The Quad Squad, our number four, the Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning Broadcasting on a Cowbell Friday, so you don't have to. Slide on them, Jordash jeans, Paul. Them skinny jeans. Pull them up real tight and break out that comb and brush back that fine feathered hair. The party's not going to be the same without you, Minch. You know that. Gather on the transistor and press the ear. Paul, do you have something you'd like to say?
Yeah, there's a reason the entire valley is off to a slow start this Friday morning. It's because the lover boy, he'll give us this party crap going on right now.
Punch it. You want a piece of my
heart. Oh, goodness. I'm so happy that it's Friday and it was supposed to be a celebratory, like the celebrities were coming.
That's right.
A celebratory.
Celebratory.
And it's not. And then just to rub it in, ESPN Stats and Info just tweeted out a congratulations.
Oh, no.
Peyton Manning is no longer the winningest quarterback in his first 9 years in the NFL.
Okay. That's Russ.
It's now Russell Wilson after last night. Ah!
So I guess my theory that the Cardinals on Sunday Night Football had ruined the rest of his career like they did once upon a time to Jake DeLome with a 5-turnover game.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
In the Carolina playoff win, I guess that didn't really apply here.
I appreciate, though, the Paul going positive and reminding us of how cool that Carolina win was. Would either of you say that the Washington football team is stellar? are either of you impressed with the Washington football team this year?
No, what's your point?
They have the only defense that's given up an opening drive touchdown to the Cardinals.
I see.
Okay.
What's happening? The Cardinals have scored 10 points this year in 10 games on their opening drive. They average a point a game on their opening drive, one touchdown, one field goal, and a whole bunch of punts and a turnover. That's a problem. That's a major problem. It's not like you're going to lose every game you don't score first. I'm not saying that. But when the trend is that large, a sample size of 10 games is large enough, and a team as bad as Washington being the only one is large enough to say, all right, what is the problem, and what are you going to do about fixing it?
Because you cannot blame an early start of any sort when it's Thursday night football.
Exactly.
So, and I can tell you the early buses were populated with plenty of players. They seemingly were ready to go. Mm-hmm. So what is going on? And to your point there, Doug, about the opening drive, a lot of teams, a lot of coaches will pride themselves on that opening drive. Those are the plays that have been pre-decided and determined, and it's based on what you saw on film of an opposing defense. I know every time you play the 49ers, look out. Kyle Shanahan's bringing something different on that opening drive, and then opposing teams will make adjustments accordingly on the sideline right after that opening drive. You're like, okay, this is what Kyle Shanahan has in mind this week, so for whatever reason, the Cardinals keep playing from behind. It happened in the Seattle win on Sunday night. It happened against Miami. It happened again last night. You got down 7-0, trailed 16-7 at the half. It is a problematic trend.
See, for me, though, I focus more on the offensive side of the ball because that's where all the talent is for the most part, right? I don't mean to take a shot at the defense at all. There is talent on the defensive side of the ball as well. But offensively, this is the strength of this football team. It's the strength of the team. offensively. You already just said it right there, Douglas. 10 points in 10 games on the first drive.
Yes, for the Cardinals offense.
So, again, do we think the Arizona Cardinals offense is better than that? Yes, we do. So what is it? What is the issue? I don't know what it is, Basin Orleans. I'll tell you that right now. But whatever it is, it lies in the ether. It's intangible.
Well,
it's not a tangible. It's the intangible. That's where the answer lies.
Let me throw out a theory here, and you guys will tell me if I'm wrong. I know you will. Last night, you come out and you throw the ball three times, three and out. Can you establish a tone, set a tone, set a mentality of physicality from the get-go of a game if you don't run the ball? If you're just going with pass plays, and on at least one of them, Kyler looked a little confused and had to throw the ball away. It might have been a receiver running the wrong route. Who knows where the accountability lies? But if you come out and you're throwing the ball and you go three and out, have you really done anything to establish a sense of physicality that you're playing a full contact game of football right from the get-go?
You know, sometimes a coach isn't wrong, but there's more right somewhere else. I don't know how many of you feel like this if you watched a lot of Cowboys football over the years. Tony Romo was amazing at making justifiable but bad decisions in the fourth quarter, where he would check into a pass play with 5 minutes left in a two-possession lead, and he would be able to say, look at this defense. This is the right play. Their defense did this. This play should be open. I'm going to pass it. But then it would be an incomplete pass, or it would be short of the sticks. Something would go wrong. Now the clock is stopped, and then the other team comes back. And Tony Romo would always think, well, that's the right play. Well, no. Running the clock would have given you the win. No, I don't care what defense they're in. And I look at Cliff Kingsbury kind of like that, especially in this game. You're not wrong to look at the secondary of the Seattle Seahawks and say, we're going to come out, we're going to throw the ball from the beginning. You're not wrong. But you're more right if you say we are the number one rushing offense and we've got to have balance from the beginning, and he didn't do that. And I understand
why
he didn't.
That's a good point,
Douglas. I understand why he did. He's not wrong, but you're more right, and you show your O-line, here we come. You slow down that average pass rush to make it even worse when you do it, and now you've got a flow going a little bit, and I would have suggested that because also your own defensive line. I want to keep Russell away from that defensive line so you have longer drives.
To put it another way, I think this is where you're driving. When you open up a game, is it more about your opponent's weakness or your strength?
I like that, yeah.
Because the Cardinals came in the number one rushing team in the NFL.
Sure.
And they didn't run the ball. Now, is that because their opponent has one of the worst pass defenses of all time? Okay. I get it.
See, pretty tough.
But once again, are you establishing what you're all about, or are you just strictly about exploiting what you see in the opposing defense? Because it does nothing to establish any sort of mentality that we know the O-line loves, that we're here to come off the ball, and we're here to attack you and drive you off the ball. And obviously that was not the case when you go 2-3 and outs, and 5 out of the 6 plays were pass plays, and then the offensive line went on to turn in one of the worst performances of the year. I don't know if there's a correlation there at all, but I do know that the Cardinals definitely didn't pick up where they left off in Week 16 in the win in Seattle a year ago when they ran it 40 times for 253 yards.
Yeah, the Seahawks had a really good plan, Basin Onions. They did. They came out, and defensively, they were not going to let Kyler Murray run the ball. They were not going to let Kyler Murray run the ball. They played Kyler Murray. That's what they did. And offensively, they came out and they ran the ball. They ran the ball 31 times for 165 yards. That's what they did. They possessed the ball over 35 minutes. And to me, time of possession, you want to talk about an antiquated stat in the National Football League? Look at time of possession. Unless you're talking about this game right here.
That's interesting.
Because you know what? Honestly, the Seattle Seahawks, they ran the ball, and guess what? Kyler Murray was over on the sideline with DeAndre Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk on the sideline. And not only that, your defense was on the sideline.
Yeah, very good.
Your defense was on the sideline when you were able to run the ball the way that the Seattle Seahawks were able to run the ball.
Coming up next, I didn't know this is coming. This is kind of interesting. Wolf goes off on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Fourth down, 38 seconds to go. This is the game right here.
A chance for another heroic play and fantastic finish. Get sacked.
Sacked by Carlos Dunlap, and that's going to do the Cardinals in this first place battle with the Seahawks.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Well, like I said, we had our chances. We just didn't play well enough to win the game.
16 penalties maybe for over 100 yards, which you're not going to win in this league doing that.
Arizona falls to 6-4, their first loss in the division.
We're talking about the Cards' loss in Seattle on the Doug and Wolf Show.
Man. This one it just stings. I mean, you can't get it out of your system. Usually you throw up, it's over, you feel better, hand me another beer.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just, ugh. This loss is not going away at all. What did Seattle do to take away your run game, Kenyon Drake?
We have to do a better job of executing against a solid front. We had a little trouble earlier in the year against Detroit running that. They also did a decent job the last time we played them, but we were able to wear them down in the second half or fourth quarter as well. After I got hurt, Chase came in and ran the ball pretty well. And today we just didn't get the job done. So we have to go back to the drawing board and expect to see that from other teams.
Well, there's no way you could have told me on Thursday morning
that
with no fans in the stands,
you
thought the Cardinals' offensive line was going to be a huge weakness.
Yeah. No way.
What happened?
I just did not think that was going to be the case right here. Now, listen, he's right when he says they have a solid front. They do. They've got a good front up there. There's Bobby Wagner. You could just start right there. And even though Bobby Wagner hasn't been the Bobby Wagner of old, you could start right there. They have talent in that box. There's no doubt. Number four in rushing yards per game allowed. Number four in rushing yards per play allowed. You put those two things together, once again, you are what you are. And when tape backs it up and shows the Seattle Seahawks playing at a decent level, they're an above-average rush defense. Let's put it that way. Okay, but if there's anything I could possibly change about the Arizona Cardinals offense right now, and it does seem a little ridiculous to be throwing stones, metaphorically speaking, at an offense that's the number one offense in the National Football League, but to me, I'd love to see Kyler Murray under center. I would love to see a package of plays where Kyler Murray goes under center. Why not? Once again, it's an expansion of the football universe, not a contraction of the football universe. It's not pistol. It's not shotgun. Why not just go ahead and come up with a package of plays? Really good plays. Plays that are good running plays, like the tackle zone, I think is an excellent. It's universal in the game of football for the most part, running a tackle zone. I know that you can do it out of shotgun. I understand that you can do it. But why not do it with Kyler Murray under center? Because even then you could run a quarterback sneak from time to time as well. You could actually do that. Now, I don't know. Maybe Kyler Murray doesn't want to run a quarterback sneak. Man, I don't know why. He's small and he's got powerful legs. It seems like, boy, that'd be a good play right there. All right.
I would wait till his shoulder feels better, though.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that, right? But once again, there's just a bootleg that comes off that tackle zone play. And you're running to that mesh point right there, and those linebackers
so much
have
of the
got
Sean
to suck
stuff
up. And then, absolutely, I would love to see the expansion, that being part of what the Arizona Cardinals do, because the play action, like I said, is some of the best play action. Now, I realize an RPO, I don't think you can get any better than an RPO in terms of play action. But when you've got a quarterback running to that mesh point on the tackle zone, and then he pulls it out and drops back three steps and throws the ball down the field, that is some of the best play action in the game of football. I would love to see that. I'd love to see an expansion of the football universe where Kyler Murray, you come up with a package of plays where Kyler Murray is under center. I'd love to see that.
Because it forces the defense to practice against something else, number one. That changes everything. And then number two, it is scary to think of what Kyler can do on, and I think Drake's good at that too.
I just honestly,
especially Chase Edmonds.
There's no doubt about it. I think honestly, why wouldn't you do it? Why not? Because there's dogma behind being in the shotgun or
if I'm playing devil's advocate, and keep in mind, I agree with you, but if I'm playing devil's advocate, if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, can't you see Cliff saying something like, we need to perfect what we do, and I don't want to spend more time mixing in a different style when this is what we do.
This is one of the most creative minds in the National Football League, in Cliff Kingsbury. This guy, the plays he comes up with, the packages that he rips off other guys and gives them credit for it, this guy is one of the best, most creative minds, in my opinion, in the National Football League. It just logically, when you think about it, why would you ever shrink what it is that you're doing as opposed to expanding what it is? This is the one thing I love, anyone who's listened to the show. I love the fact that this new stuff from the college ranks is coming into the National Football League. And there's a blending of the two, of the old and the new. It is awesome to watch football. If you're a true football fan, what a blessing it is to watch how many different personnel groups they actually use and how many different styles of offenses they're blending. At the NFL level, the highest level our species can generate, it is so cool to actually see it and the creativity that's behind it. I just don't know philosophically why you would want to make your offense simpler to defend as opposed to harder. And I think the more you can actually do and the more you can actually execute, it makes it tougher for you. I would love to see that. Just a basic package of plays that come with that tackle zone with a quarterback under center and the plays that come off it, man. I would love to see that with the Arizona Cardinals. And, you know, once again, I don't think we're going to. Let me tell you that right now. I don't think we're going to, ever.
Are you grumpy?
I am a little grumpy right now. There's no doubt about it. It's Friday. I don't want to feel like this. I don't right now. The Arizona Cardinals to Max. I mean, think about Max. Max calls in, and what is he talking about? Max is talking about the fact that everyone's so negative this morning. Do you know me, Douglas? I am not a negative person. I am a positive person right now. But what I watched last night with the Arizona Cardinals offense is mind-numbing. It's mind-numbing to me. It's mind-numbing to me that the Seattle Seahawks stopped the Arizona Cardinals offense, held them to 21 points, 314 yards. They had 107 yards after the first half. We're talking about a defense that is historically bad. Historically. Dead last in so many metrics in the NFL. And if you watch them on tape, they lost their two starting corners.
The Cardinals scored 21 against Carolina. Man. That was their lowest point total this year. The worst defense in NFL history held the Cardinals to a tie with their lowest point total this year.
Yes, it was so disappointing. You can't talk about the game last night, Basinonians, without talking about that. The strength of this football team. I realize it was on 4 days rest. I get it. You're the traveling team. You got to go up there and you've already beaten the Seahawks. I know all the reasons why. But the fact that they went up there, the offense, and laid an egg to me, I'm sorry. Unacceptable. Everybody else has basically torched the Seattle Seahawks defense, and they're missing their two starting corners
and their nickel corner.
Man, that's a hard, hard pill to swallow, even though here they are. They're 6-4. They're in this thing. They're still there. They could get to 10 wins. They're in the postseason. Would we all be happy with the Arizona Cardinals if they were in the postseason? You better believe it. Yes. The problem is we all have a tendency to get greedy. Don't we?
But I don't apologize for that.
We've seen this offense perform.
I don't apologize for that. And the reason why is I think we would have accepted.
That's what fandom is about.
Not with 37 seconds left when Diggs caught it. But we would have accepted losing to Buffalo. You know, they're a good team. We understand Seattle is decent. But at that moment in time, when you're coming off of that game and they're that injured.
Seattle's
and to lose,
a good team.
They are. But think about this. You shouldn't lose to them because of your offense.
You got that
and
right.
That's why it's okay for us to be greedy and say, wait a minute, this is a problem. Do you realize the lowest point total that the defense has been able to hold a team to? Miami had 23 points in a loss to Seattle, and Los Angeles Rams actually beat them last week with 23 points. Okay? This is the lowest point total ever scored against a Seattle defense this year.
Oh, my. What's your point?
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. So it's okay to be greedy because of the way they lost to Seattle.
I never would have ever thought this was going to happen when we watched this game last night. When they kicked the ball off, the very first thing I thought was, here we go.
And then they sacked the first play. Here we go.
Here we go.
Coming up next, Big Red Crosstalk with Bickley and Murata. What disappointed them the most last night on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station? Big Red Crosstalk. Bickley and Murata coming up 10 to 2 today, and they stop in the Auction Community Studios to talk about what they saw last night. All right, Bick, your first question number one.
Yeah.
Change one thing about last night. What is it?
Wow. I was not expecting such a deep question from you, my man. Can you just ask me what I'm going to ask Cliff King? Oh, we're not going to talk to him.
Yeah, that was it.
I don't know. I would just like this offense to be at a better place. I would have really thought by now they'd be at cruising altitude, if not close. And it just seems we're getting a lot of stops and starts when it comes to progress. And there were just a lot of mental errors last night. Like Wolf, I am most upset at the offense and how they were not able to rise above a decimated Seattle defense, how they allowed Seattle to kind of do the dance they're doing this morning. Oh, that was Seahawks football. We went back to Seahawks football. And look at the way I just – it was such a missed opportunity. And then I come in this morning, and my radio partner tells me the Dodgers are going after Nolan Arenado. And I'm like, can this day get any worse?
Oh, that's good. If you're
ever, yes, it can, Dad.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
If you're ever playing poker against Vince, here's the tell. While Bick was talking, he scratched his forehead seven times. Which means something's on his mind. So he's ready to answer the question.
Or I'm just itchy.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. Vince, what are you changing? What's the one thing you're changing?
To me, we talk about the penalties. I'm sure you guys have talked about the penalties ad nauseum today, and they were a big factor. There were four crippling penalties that are inexcusable. The pass interference on Patrick Peterson, Dre Kirkpatrick losing his cool. I'm not sure Kyler Murray knows the intentional grounding rule. That's where he really struggles.
That's the one that bothered me the most.
And that leads to the hold on Sweezy in the end zone. I mean, all of those plays added points to the Seahawks total. To echo what Bick said, just a flat, I like to use the word polite. It was a very polite offensive. They didn't want to ruffle any feathers. You know what? We don't want to come in here and make too much noise, especially against your decimated defense. We're going to play it cool. I don't know if that was a result of Kyler Murray's shoulder bugging him. But even before that, and Wolf and I were talking during the commercial break, he just appeared to be very indecisive early in that game, and it kind of permeated throughout.
Yeah, I thought the offensive line as well struggled, guys.
Yes.
And that's something that the offensive line has played so much better than what most people give them credit for. Protecting Kyler Murray for the most part, keeping Kyler Murray clean in the pocket, running the ball. We all know we're talking about the number one rush offense in the National Football League. And for me, everyone says, yeah, well, that's Kyler Murray so much of the time. Hey, listen, you know what? If he's part of your run,
yes,
your rushing attack, where you line up and you run the zone reads and he's running the ball, that's part of who you are. And it's got to be counted. Scrambles, something altogether different right here. But I thought the offensive line, I was disappointed in their energy and their intensity.
Yeah.
That's why it's so hard to process this game, because you almost waste your time blaming somebody because you need to move on to blame somebody else quickly enough. You know, Cliff, why are you not embracing the run game? One call to run in the first 14 minutes of the game. But who's calling a run when the offensive line is just like that? And then how often, Kyler, was it you not just giving it to Kenyon Drake on an RPO, thinking you're going to save the world? Trust your line like you want to be trusted. And then defense giving up points again on the opening. I mean, like, as soon as you get onto one thing, you're missing out on a chance to attack somebody else.
Yeah, and again, I think it kind of speaks to the rocky development of everything about this team, and I think a lot of us might have been seduced by that the Hail Murray. I mean, to the point where Kyler Murray has trademarked that phrase.
No.
So
that
came out this
if
morning.
If I'm his agent, I'm telling him to trademark it too. Yet it still bugs me that, okay, can we just worry about football right now?
Right, right.
But that we know how it is.
But yeah, I mean that was part of what we were cheering, the fact that this kid was becoming a star. And with star power comes those kind of endorsements, and I think Kyler Murray is about football, but again, there was just a lot of, it just didn't seem like there was really crisp decision making going on from him. It didn't look like there was really good game planning, and maybe the short week had a lot to do with it. But the Seahawks threw some stuff at him. Vinny and I were watching the play to Andy Isabella, and there's a fabulous discussion to be had about that, regardless of what you think about it. Should he have been on the field? Should you throw him the ball? I know Vinny got into it with Kurt Warner last night on Twitter about this.
Not really. I mean, Kurt took exception to what I tweeted.
Right. So, but Vinny, I was watching the play. We were watching some of the coaches' film of that, and I was thinking, why don't you just throw the ball to DeAndre Hopkins in that situation? You go back, you watch the play. He's double covered right off the line of scrimmage. Okay, so Seattle took him out of the play. Fitz is open 7 yards, but he's got two guys coming right at him, and then you got two guys closing on Andy Isabella, and I'm thinking, how many players do the Seahawks have on the field here? And it just felt like it shouldn't have been that hard to move the ball last night.
Here's something that's scary, and tell me, speaking about being hard to move the ball, and I want to give all attention to Trent Mahoney, a listener to the show. He tweeted me something. Maloney then looked it up, and it's something we should all now officially be worried about. 2019 Texas Tech football, so this is last year. What's the first thing Matt Wells comes in and wants to work on in the opening scrimmage? Penalties. And in this article, it describes, on average, that in the Cliff Kingsbury era, Texas Tech was 118th ranked in the best penalty team. So if in the one thing Todd Graham was really good at, no penalties. You know, other than one year, they were great at having
ball security.
Yeah, very good at ball and character and penalties. But so if the least penalized team is at number one, he averaged ranking 118th in the country on penalties.
Wow.
Now, it's hard to truly control penalties as a coach. You just bench guys, but are you really going to bench Patrick Peterson? I don't know what you do, but it is a trend that this guy struggles in controlling penalties.
Well,
that has to stop.
And then the question you have to ask, and you are probably the best one to answer this, being a former player, is when you have a user-friendly player coach like Cliff Kingsbury, does that affect the discipline of a football team?
Yeah, I think it can affect the discipline of a football team, but I blame the players. I always will blame the players for the most part, right? Listen, I can tell you this right here. Bill Belichick had a policy, basically, you don't commit penalties. We do not commit penalties, period. And if you were not a well-established guy and you committed penalties, he'd cut you, is what he would do. Basically, everybody understood the message, and it was clear right there. But you can't do that with guys that are good.
It's interesting you say that, because here's last night, if I had courage as a general manager, I would cut Drake Kirkpatrick. I would send that message now, but there's one thing. If Patrick Peterson's playing that poorly, and we might have found somebody on the street that can actually play, but at the same time, what kind of message does that send if you do it?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But there are coaches, I will tell you, that would do that in that situation, because that was heinous.
What's coming up on the Bickley and Marotta Show?
Oh, a lot of this. We got a lot of ground to cover. We've got a lot of angst to address. It was, like I said, just – Colossally disappointing. I really thought this football team was ready for this moment. This game last night felt to me like a football team climbing the mountain and everybody struggling to catch their breath because it's just so awesome. We're near the top, and it's really disappointing that this game.
I love how you said that. Fans were smart enough to know that 5-11 is bad, 6-4 is good. We know that. Yet, how many times are we going to say, I was ready to believe we were there?
Get greedy.
And we get punched in the face.
Get greedy.
Paul's Call is coming up next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Bedding. For the best sleep ever, go to brooklynbedding.com.
Hey, it's your call, man.
No. It's your call.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
All right, it's a big red aftermath edition of Paul's Call here after Thursday night football, a little roundtable action. We'll just go back and forth. In fact, you know what? Why don't we bat lead off here by ripping off a Bobby Mack tweet, which I'm sorry, Doug.
I have made national news.
That's the price that has to be paid anytime we use anything that's associated with Bobby Mack because he enjoys that clip so much.
Keep it fair.
So we have to pay him off accordingly. His tweet states, and I quote, Cardinals QB Kyler Murray has filed a trademark for Hail Murray.
I can't believe it! You've got to be joking me, Hopkins!
No joke there, Dave. Team Kyler has filed a claim, according to this report, that they intend to offer Hail Murray-branded clothing and football instruction services.
He's gone!
Right.
Oh, mama!
The application was filed with the United States Patent and Trademark Office on November 16th.
Interesting.
And furthermore, Bobby Mack says a source tells him that Team Kyler has, quote, also filed one for Murray Magic. And so,
Murray Magic.
That was Ian Eagle, what he said afterwards.
Okay.
Was Murray Magic.
Okay. All right.
I thought that was Dave Pass, as a matter of fact.
I'm trying to remember.
I'm not saying he invented it. I just know Ian Eagle said that at the end of the Hail Murray.
Interesting.
Dave's been saying that for a while. I believe, to my recollection, I'm now wondering if there was a thought bubble above my head. It would say, am I going to get a cease and desist for
mandatory
Murray?
Can we check with the station lawyers on that? Am I still? What about the future of football? Tick. Talk? Am I? Let the record reflect for better or worse. Yes, Mo.
What about the mighty?
The mighty.
Kyler Murray. What about the mighty?
Well, sources.
Do you think he'd be.
No,
all over
sources
that?
Tell me he
that
hates
that. One never stuck.
He hates that. Sources tell me he hates
that. Is
that
right, Paul?
And has no interest in that.
Interesting.
Actually, that's a first person. He doesn't like future of football. I dropped that on him at an event that I was emceeing, and that went over like a lead balloon.
He did not like
future of football. I got a serious Kyler facial on that one. And what about come for the arms, stay for the legs?
A little shimmy shake at the 10 Kyler Murray.
I'm not a fan of that guy's
just stop it.
So anyway, I don't know. So when we don't get called into court here, you know, I don't know. I might get a phone call from Doug Llewellyn or Judge Judy here at some point. I don't know. Let's see here. We're on serious sleep deprivation. We have other issues, by the way. And this is sort of karma because what we talked about last week that, the Cardinals put out a game plan on how to go after Russell Wilson in that Sunday night football game. And you know what? I got to confirm some sources in the know that every opponent after the Cardinals that the Seahawks face, they got that same game plan that Vance Joseph used in the second half and overtime of Sunday night football.
Interesting.
Because we all know in the NFL, everybody now, you will see it until you beat it.
Copycat league.
Do we have role reversal after last night? Did the Seahawks just post a win and, more importantly perhaps, a blueprint to face Kyler and the Cardinals?
It definitely played for me, you know, in certain situations, but put up 21, had a chance to win the game at the end. We started off slow. We just kept shooting ourselves in the foot. They won the game, but, you know, I think we can play a lot better.
And I get it. It's like baseball, and your momentum is as far as next day's starting pitcher. You know, a blueprint is as far as next week's adjustments.
Paul, you said that about Detroit early on in the year.
Mm.
And I saw a Josh Weinfuss tweet today that said that the Cardinals were blitzed by the Seahawks 8% of the time last night, which is the lowest of the year. Meaning they were the first team to, in a sense, blitz Kyler less than Detroit did.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
Pete, so you were brilliant without even knowing.
So Pete Carroll, though, going into the game was saying what? Oh, we're going to be high risk, high reward, yeah. And that we were too low risk before. So interesting, Pete Carroll. By the way.
Yeah, I'd like to know, what do they count as a blitz?
Most statistics, Wolf, five
just
is a blitz.
Just don't, it's not a blitz. It's not.
Well, Coach Kingsbury was asked about the Seattle plan.
I got to give Seattle credit. They had a good plan to try and, you know, make him hand the ball off, and that's basically what it came down to.
See, okay, now look, we're going Friday morning quarterback here, and everybody hang on to themselves. But you know the Chase Edmonds touchdown, what was the key to that? They were all focused on Kyler, and they used that against the Seahawks defense. He exploited the Seahawks defense by turning all that attention on him into the liability, and Chase squirted free, and boom, he was wide open. Could there have been much more opportunity to do that throughout the entire game?
Yes.
To use the aggressiveness of Seattle's defensive focus on Kyler Murray against them?
Yes.
Yes, Paulie. That sounds good.
Because what we all wanted to hear Pete Carroll say after this game was what he said after they gave up a 44-burger against the Bills.
We gave them some stuff with some misplay.
Oh, yeah.
We expected to play the stuff that we did play much better than we did.
Okay. Unfortunately,
it's like Dr. Seuss.
That's not what he said after they contained the number one rushing attack in the NFL. How?
I think Kenny went after him differently and adjusted stuff from the last time we played him. Yeah. You don't see it this way, but the last time we played them, until like 3 or 4 minutes left in the game, we had been in pretty good shape with these guys.
So I don't know if you consider that revisionist history there, but that's Pete Carroll's account of that.
Misplay, did play.
I will say that one of the most confounding things about last night is how the offensive line had four false starts. More false starts in the absence of a crowd than you do when you get the loudest road venue the Cardinals will face all year. And the only thing I can think about is every time that the Cardinals get ready to go to Seattle, the O-line is on point because they realize, oh boy, we can't hear ourselves think. We better be buttoned up and dialed in. And maybe they went into this game thinking, oh, it'll be a piece
That's
of cake this week.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's not going to be a challenge at all because the stadium's going to be empty. And then what happened?
I wonder if the whole offense went into that game thinking it's a piece of cake against that defense.
Because it's so daunting. Just the atmosphere and the noise factor and the fans all over you. And usually Seattle has a pretty stout defense, obviously. So they really have your attention. And instead this week...
This team seems to play up to the competition and down to the competition, or in this case, up to the challenge and down to the challenge. Yeah.
So between that and starting a game, because I can tell you, I'll leave you with this, the start of the game, and I can't tell you how many different coaches cited that was the message this week, and obviously they did not get return on investment in trying to start with an edge. So we'll leave the start there as the end to this week. Thankfully, here, that is the Paulie Pixinger Report.
All right, Paulie, thank you very much for that right there. It wasn't Paul's call. Don't say that. Are you kidding me? But I do believe this is something that this team has got to figure out in the second half of the season right here. It has to. If they want to do anything the rest of the way, if they want to get into the postseason and actually maybe make a little noise in the postseason, they have got to figure out why it is that they are challenged when it comes to bringing the intensity and the energy from game to game.
How did the show make you feel? Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the you. It's all about
the you. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to carolhasthebuyers.com. That's carolhasthebuyers.com.
There is one good thing about today. The Godfather turns 81 today. Happy birthday, Jerry Colangelo.
All right. I'll second that, obviously. Such a historic place in Arizona sports history.
I am down in a hole. Peace and strife.